Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Then let go of whatever no longer serves you to take action now on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, and letting it go. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. With Erica's E3 approach, equipping, empowering, and enlightening yourself so you can be yourself for yourself. Get ready and get rooted to live a life without regrets, without what ifs, without should haves, and especially without empty feelings from a life unexplored. This hit show helps you build powerful and intentional roots to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Get fearlessly ready and powerfully rooted in your yes with your host, Erica Gifford Mills, and be fearless about your more and stand in your yes now on Get Rooted Radio.
Welcome, everyone. I am Erica Gifford Mills, and you are listening to Get Rooted Radio, living it up, loving it up, letting it go, right here on Transformation Talk Radio. A big shout out to our new producer, David. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing actually very amazing. Doing very amazing. How are you?
I am doing really well. So tell listeners a little bit about yourself.
So I recently joined. It's been about 2 months, I would say, two months since I've been at Transformation Talk Radio, learning a lot of stuff, actually. But the trick of my trade, I'm a videographer by trade, so bringing new video stuff to the company. So that's kind of my whole passion.
Put that in my back pocket to know about video, you being a videographer.
There you go.
Happy to have you on board, David. So a big part of Get Rooted Radio is looking at emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental health. It's about being balanced in mind, body, and spirit, learning how to live, love, and let go in order to be the best version of yourself for yourself. And with that today, I'd like to shine a light on mental health and mental illness awareness. So World Mental Health Day is observed on October 10th of every year, with the overall objective of raising awareness of mental health issues around the world and mobilizing efforts in support of mental health. And it's a real personal issue. I've dealt with mental health issues. Many folks in my family and my friends have dealt with it. And it's not surprising that approximately 1 in 4 Americans suffer a mental health illness or other health issue. And that's just in America. So creating awareness is truly a difficult task. We make sure to fill 1 day or 1 month with the green ribbon, right? That's stigma busting. But do we really know what the green ribbon means? When there's awareness about mental health, it eases the identification and early treatment for all of us. And individuals who suffer could be our father, our mother, our son, daughters, neighbors, friends, sibling, and it could even be ourselves. So early intervention can help our loved ones receive appropriate care. And as a result of early intervention, recovery can be faster. So a question for all of us to ponder. If a loved one has experienced some issues and you know for a fact they need to see a professional, do you know how to access the service? Or do they? So about 5 years ago, a survey was conducted and it found about 50% out of 176 people, so 50% did not access mental health services because they were unaware of how to. And I'm hoping that number has changed in the last 5 years, but any amount is still too high. Now, lack of access can be due to misinformation about where to go. Now, mental illness cannot be treated by simple desire. Treatment is necessary. Many people may not have access to these services because it's difficult due to cultural or language barriers. And that is not only in the mental health arena, but all health arenas. And what can we do to eliminate that? And I think awareness is the key factor. Awareness eliminates stigma for those suffering. If we are aware of their limitations and strengths, the stigma may disappear. Now, if a loved one was just diagnosed with bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, would you like those around you to comment, she's crazy, lock her up? Or would you want acceptance, empathy, and educated responses? And I think we can all agree it's the latter. Now, stigma refers to the opinions and thoughts of a community. It's all too often shames the mentally ill, and it creates a community where minds are closed off and rejects acceptance of those who are different. Now, attitudes and behaviors move a community to either a positive or negative trend. We see it in society in so many aspects. We fear what we don't know or what we don't understand. You know, if there's a negative trend, then the implication may cause a combination of denial and hatred. And that's what we need to start overcoming. And that's what education and awareness can do. You know, awareness can also create new improvements. There's more demand from the public can really produce a flow of attention. It's, you know, the cause and effect and the demand and the surplus and demand. And we want to make sure that we are really calling attention. The attention can eventually result in great changes. It can lead to improvements on policy, on research, on service development. Now, let's make this issue a priority because we have a high demand. If we raise more awareness, the demands may increase and can result in more funding for those at need. You know, it's really important to understand that there's a great misconception for the mentally ill or mental health conditions. Many think the people who suffer are lazy or just making it up. And think about that. If you're out there and you feel like you don't know where to go, if somebody thought you were lazy or making something up, would you continue to talk about it? There's also this attitude that people who are suffering are either crazy, possessed by demons, violent, out of control, or unsafe. These are the negative labels that have been attached due to the lack of awareness and education. Raising awareness can reduce these misconceptions. So could you imagine your loved one being described by these words? How would it make you feel? Now imagine how they feel. Why continue to live in a community where there is judgment if we could promote awareness on the issue? So mental illness and mental health awareness should not only be for a day or two or even a month. It is a start, but we must be informed about it because it can easily happen to someone close to us, even ourselves. Community awareness for mental health reduces stigma. Mental health awareness increases the chances for early intervention, which, as we said, it results in a faster recovery. Awareness reduces negative adjectives that have been set to describe people with mental illness. So by raising awareness, mental health can now be seen truly as an illness. These illnesses can be managed by treatment. We should not isolate mental illness from the physical health conditions such as diabetes or blood pressure or cancer or heart disease. It's just that, an illness. We would never make fun of somebody or make them feel bad or tell them they shouldn't, it's silly, to go to treat diabetes or cancer. This is really no different. This awareness is really a form of education. The more you know, the more power you have. We all know this. Knowledge is power. This power can cause a positive effect in our communities, and awareness is key for understanding what mental health is and how families can receive the help they need. Lack of awareness on this issue is not just their problem. It's our problem as a community, right? It needs to be not the end, but the beginning. You know, attend health fairs, resource fairs, read more, listen more, really pass it on. Pass on the awareness. When you learn something new, you want to share it. This should not be something that is kept to ourselves. We need to talk about it and then talk about it some more. Let's start a domino effect for awareness on mental health. Don't be afraid to talk about it. It's hard work, but the power to reach and teach the community is well worth it. So if you're interested in sharing your experience, call in. Tell us how others can help you or a loved one or to educate themselves. The number is 1-800-930-2819, or email the show with your feedback. I want to hear your journey. I want to hear how you're supporting yourself, how others have supported you, or how you are supporting loved ones. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into mental health versus mental illness. You are listening to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Step into your highest potential and tune into embodying your higher self. Tools for Conscious Living with Michelle Cempaka. You can listen on transformationtalkradio.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Michelle is an energy healer, intuitive, and shamanic practitioner dedicated to helping you heal and transform your life. For more information about sessions, coaching, and upcoming workshops and retreats, visit spiritweaverjourneys.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hey everyone, it's me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole from Shades of Spirit, bringing you another Shades of Spirit tip of the week. Jamie, have you ever wondered if you might be an empath?
Yes, I have. And some signs that we may be an empath include an inexplicable desire to avoid crowds in places like movie theaters, shopping centers, and restaurants.
You know, sometimes I'm able to walk into a room with other people and I know exactly how they're feeling, even if no one is saying a word.
I can attend social gatherings or other events and find myself so emotionally exhausted and physically drained that I could probably sleep for a week.
If any of these examples resonate with you, please come check out our new live podcast, Shades of Spirit. It's on every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on Transformation Talk Radio.
You can also find us at shadesofspirit.com, where you can book your appointment or call us at 858-684-7575.
Welcome back to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, letting it go. If you missed any portion of today's episode, you can catch it on GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com. Don't forget to subscribe online to receive the latest news, events, specials, and words of encouragement. Go to GetRootedRadio.com. Today, we are shining a much needed light on mental health and mental illness awareness. Education is key. But what is the difference between mental health and mental illness? So mental health refers to our emotional and psychological state, our social well-being, and really how we feel about ourselves and interact with others. Mental health is not the same as mental illness, although poor mental health can lead to mental and physical illnesses. Now, when we have good mental health, we are resilient, can handle life's challenges and stresses, the everydays, you know, have meaningful relationships and make sound decisions. Mental health, like physical health, is important at every stage of life, from childhood to adolescence to adulthood and even to old age. You know, being mentally healthy is influenced by life experiences, our relationship with others, physical health, and really the environment around us. So that's why it's all really interconnected. Your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health is all interconnected. Just as people may experience physical problems over the course of their lives, they may also experience those emotional or mental health problems that affect their thinking, their moods, and their behaviors. This doesn't necessarily mean that a person who is going through a difficult time and experiencing poor mental health has a mental illness. know, feeling miserable and socially isolated are red flags for one's mental health, that one's mental health needs that attention. You know, the benefits of improving your mental health are well worth the effort. Being mentally healthy helps you feel confident in your worth and your abilities. You know, accept your strengths and weaknesses. It allows you to set realistic goals and create a sense of meaning and purpose in your life. Emotional health and mental health are closely intertwined, and both can positively or negatively impact that physical health as well. So again, that's why they're all intertwined. So if someone can't sleep well, it could be a physical aspect, it could be a mental aspect, it could be a mental that's affecting physical, which is affecting their sleep. They're really all intertwined. And so you need to really be able to see what is changing in your life and in your environment to be able to properly assess what is happening. But what is mental illness? So mental illness refers to a wide range of disorders that affect mood, thinking, and behavior. It can affect anyone, regardless of your age, your race, your gender, your social standing, religion, ethnicity. It's not discriminatory. It can affect anyone. And people with mental illness often experience distress and problems functioning at work, home, and in social situations. Mental illness is not something that person can overcome with willpower, you know, just get over it. You know, it can be caused by biological factors such as genes or brain chemistry, trauma and abuse, and family history of mental illness. So some of the major types of mental illnesses include depression, anxiety, mood disorders, including bipolar, personality disorders, schizophrenia, trauma disorders, eating disorders, addictive behaviors. There's a lot of different mental illness kind of types, categories. And really, mental illnesses are common in the U.S. About 1 in 5 adults lives with mental illness. I think that number was about 45 million in the last couple of years. That's a lot. So being unable to talk about it when it affects such a high percentage of our communities, our people, is what we need to get over. But while depression and anxiety are two of the most common disorders, mental illness includes many different conditions that range from mild to moderate to severe. You know, people don't have a mental illness might not be impacted by the, might be also impacted by mental illness of a friend or a family member. So even though they might not experience it themselves, it still impacts because you might have a friend, family, loved one that is experiencing it. So be aware of signs and symptoms of mental illness. They vary and it doesn't all happen. And you might not even see any right away, or you may contribute them to something else. But signs and symptoms include changes in sleep, changes in appetite, energy level, severe mood swings, persistent thoughts or compulsions, hearing voices, social withdrawal, feeling sad or hopeless or agitated, having trouble performing everyday tasks, really your focus, or wanting to hurt oneself or others. You know, with the right treatment, people can and do recover from mental illness. Friends and family members can be important influences to help someone get the treatment and services they need. Primary care physicians can refer individuals to psychiatrists or other professionals who specialize in the mental health treatment. Treating a physical illness might require medications and physical therapy, as is treating a mental illness. They may also require medications and different therapies. For many people, the first step is to recognize that there is a problem and be willing to accept help. And our job in as a community is to be able to extend that hand when they don't know that they need or can reach out to help. There are many ways and many places where you can get information on mental health treatment resources. The National Institute of Mental Health, that's www.nimh.nih.gov, that's National Institute of Mental Health. There's NAMI, or National Alliance on Mental Health. That's www.nami.org. Again, National Alliance on Mental Health, or NAMI for short. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. You can do the samhsa.gov or mentalhealth.gov. There is help out there. Reach out, or be the one to reach out to loved ones you believe are suffering in silence. And I think that is something that we need to remember. We all think that somebody will reach out if they need help. And in many societies, reaching out or asking for help is seen as a sign of weakness. That's another stigma we need to overcome. Asking for help, accepting and receiving help is not a sign of weakness. It is out there. So if you feel a friend is retreating, reach out. Be that person to offer that hand. It might be what they need to get through to the next level. We're going to take a quick break because when we come back, we're going to get into combating mental health issues and illnesses and how some of these could lead to the devastation of suicide. I'm Erica Gifford Mills, and you are listening to Get Rooted Radio, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm.
Sue Storm.
TheAngelLady.net.
TheAngelLady.net.
The Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live every first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you settling? No more. Coach Peggy takes on all things wellness. We go way beyond nutrition and fitness. The Coach Peggy Show is not afraid to be bold, badass, and it's never half in. For more information, visit allthingswellness.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. Move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
We're back on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, letting it go. Don't forget to visit GetRootedRadio.com to listen to a replay of this episode, sign up for helpful tips, and learn more about upcoming events. That's GetRootedRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about more about mental health, mental illness awareness. The more we talk and educate ourselves, the more we can overcome and help others combat it. Many people who live with mental illness have at some point been blamed for their condition. They've been called names. Their symptoms have been referred to as a phase or something they can control if they only tried. Some may have even been illegally discriminated against with no justice. This is the really unwielding power that stigma holds. Stigma causes people to feel ashamed for something that is out of their control. Now, worst of all, stigma prevents people from seeking the help they need. For a group of people who already carry such a heavy burden, stigma is an unacceptable addition to their pain. And while it has reduced in recent years, the pace of progress has not been quick enough. I feel like we're getting better, and I think it will continue, but it won't if we don't continue the conversation. So all of us, whether or not in the mental health community, need to raise our voices against stigma every day in every possible way. We need to stand up and shout. Not sure how to do this? Here are 8 ways to combat and fight stigma. Talk openly about mental health. Keep that open dialogue and keep the conversation going. 2, educate yourself and others. Take every opportunity to educate people and share your personal stories and struggles with mental health and mental illness. The more open we are, the easier it is for others to feel comfortable asking for and receiving help and feel supported and to support others. 3, be conscious of language. Fight stigma by reminding people that their language matter. Words matter. It is so easy to refrain from using mental health conditions as adjectives. So be kind. 4, encourage equality between physical and mental illnesses. When people understand the true facts of what a mental illness and mental health conditions are, being a disease, they think twice about making comments. Remind them that they wouldn't make fun of or be judgmental of someone with diabetes, heart disease, or cancer. 5, show compassion for those with mental illnesses. We are afraid of those things that we do not understand. As with anything and everything, we need to show compassion for others. There are so many times that what we don't know, we fear. Show compassion because we don't know what others are going through. 6, choose empowerment over shame. Don't feel ashamed nor show shame to those with mental health or mental illness. Empower yourselves and others and show your support. Be empowered. 7, be honest about treatment. Tell the truth about your treatment. Seeing a mental health professional, taking medication or any other form of treatment should be openly communicated. It should be seen as a sign of strength. No more are the days that it's guilty or shameful to go see a therapist. That's a way that you are empowering yourself to seek the treatment that is needed. And last, don't harbor self-stigma. Fight stigma by not having stigma for yourself. Don't hide from the world in shame, but be a productive member of society. This is what our collective voices sound like. It sounds like bravery, strength, persistence, the quality you need to face mental illness and mental health conditions and to fight stigma. No matter how you contribute to the mental health movement, you can make a difference simply by knowing that mental illness and mental health conditions is not anyone's fault. No matter what societal stigma says, you can make a difference by being and living stigma free. So we've been talking about mental health, mental illness awareness, and how to combat both. But let's talk more about how they may increase risk of suicide. Suicide is a major health problem, and the global suicide mortality rate amounts to 1.4% of all deaths worldwide. That is a huge number. Most suicides are related to psychiatric disease, with depression, substance use disorders, and psychosis being the most relevant risk factors. However, anxiety, personality, eating, and trauma-related disorders, as well as organic mental health disorders, also contribute. Suicidal thoughts, much like mental health conditions, can affect anyone regardless of age, gender, or background. In fact, suicide is often the result of an untreated mental health condition. And while suicidal thoughts are common, they should not be considered normal and really often indicate more serious issues. Every year, thousands of individuals die by suicide, leaving behind their friends and family members to navigate the tragedy of the loss. In many cases, friends and family affected by a suicide are left in the dark. Too often, the feelings of shame and stigma prevent them from talking openly. And that's what we need to get over. So what are warning signs of suicide? Like we said, suicide does not have one single cause. Certain factors like substance abuse and untreated depression can lead to higher risk of suicide, just as having a trusted group of friends can help protect you. So you want to call 911 or the emergency service in your country if you see or hear any of the following: someone threatening to hurt or kill themselves or talking about wanting to die, especially if the person has a weapon or item to hurt him or herself. Searching for ways to kill themselves by seeking access to lethal means, whether that is online or physically in the moment of despair. If you hear someone talking, writing, or posting on social media about death and suicide when these actions are out of the ordinary for the person, be aware. Don't look for the signs, but look for the signs, right? Keep an open mind. So warning signs of suicide are really indicators that a person may be in acute danger and may urgently need help. So look at talking about wanting to die, looking for ways, talking about feeling hopeless or having no purpose, talking about feeling trapped or being in unbearable pain, acting anxious, agitated, or reckless, sleeping too little or too much, withdrawing or feeling isolated, showing rage or talking about seeking revenge, displaying extreme mood swings. Those are just some warning signs. But what about risk factors? You know, risk factors do not cause or predict a suicide. Rather, they are characteristics that make it more likely an individual will consider, attempt, or die by suicide. So mental disorders, particularly mood disorders, schizophrenia, anxiety disorders, and certain personality disorders. Alcohol and other substance use disorders, hopelessness, history of trauma or abuse, impulsive or aggressive tendencies, major physical or chronic illnesses, a previous suicide attempt, family history of suicide, recent job or financial loss, recent loss of a relationship, easy access to lethal means, local clusters of suicide, lack of social support and sense of isolation, a stigma associated with asking for help, lack of health care, especially that of mental health or substance abuse treatment, cultural and religious beliefs, or exposure to others who have died by suicide, whether that's in real life or via media or the internet. Help is available. In the U.S., the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, help is available. U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to someone who has experienced this journey herself. How does she combat? What has she gone through? And where she is now? This is Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Are you looking for a deeper connection and better communication as an individual or couple? Join Sabina and Dr. Pat each month for the Full Circle of Love series. As a love and relationship coach, Sabina is passionately devoted and focuses on all aspects of love. Sabina will guide you to self-empowerment to stay in the heart space. For more information, visit sabinarademacher.com. That's SabinaRademacher.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into The Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Welcome back to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. If you missed any of the information during the last segments, go to GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com to listen to the replay. Don't forget to subscribe, sign up for tips and special events and pricing for upcoming coaching sessions at GetRootedRadio.com. We've been talking about raising awareness for mental health, mental illness issues. I'd like to introduce a special guest, my favorite sister-in-law, Lisa Loss Gifford. She is just this most amazing woman. I have a great deal of respect for her passion on this topic and her journey. And with that, Lisa, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So I'd like you to share whatever you're comfortable with about your journey, about what mental health awareness, mental illness means to you, what you've experienced, and really your journey and where you are today.
Sure. I think my earliest recollection of mental health issues was probably in eighth grade, and I'm 52 now, so it's been a long journey. I think one of the things that is important for people to understand is that quite often depression will set in when there's nothing to trigger it. My very worst bout of depression that I've ever gone through was in 2017, and my life at that time was picture perfect. I had just become a grandparent for the first time. My marriage is awesome. My kids are awesome. Nobody was in a bad place, and I plummeted. And I probably went through this for maybe 4 months before I decided, okay, I need something big and in depth. So I ended up hospitalized for 6 days, and it was hard, but it was probably the best thing for me at the time. But 2017 was like an entire year of depression and recovery and then learning how to be me again, because the depression that I went through was so horribly bad. And still to this day, there are parts of me that are completely lost because of what I went through in 2017. It's hard to get back to being you because you're not sure what you is. So that's most of my journey, the short and long of it, I guess.
Yeah, so you had said that things were picture perfect, right? Looking back, and, you know, and I hate to say hindsight is 2020 because look how 2020 has been. But hindsight, what were some things that maybe should you have seen, or maybe if you knew more at the time, you would have looked at?
You know, I can honestly say, even in hindsight, there was nothing. Like, it was a glorious time in my life. My first grandbaby, and she was born healthy and happy, and there truly wasn't. And I can remember feeling kind of stupid for even going through the depression the way I was, because, you know, I'd be in class with these people who had these horrible traumas that triggered their depression. And I had nothing that triggered it. That's why that one was so weird for me, because there wasn't a trigger. And that also is when I was introduced to anxiety, which is horrendous, and I don't wish that on anybody. But I know that I've gone through all of this stuff for a purpose. My purpose in being part of the mental illness statistics is for me to be able to help others who are going through it, because if you haven't been through it, it's hard to understand it. So I've been able to use what I've gone through to help others through what they're going through.
And you've been very vocal about your journey. How has that helped you process and, for lack of better terms, get better?
It definitely does, because I think when you're going through things, if you just keep it all to yourself and you let it settle, it just roots this darkness and you end up wallowing in it. By sharing it, you're getting it out in the open. And a lot of times when you talk about how you're feeling or what you're experiencing through the depression and the anxiety, it helps you to, it almost makes it tangible. Like, you can put your fingers on it when you talk about it. And it breaks some of the shame that comes with anxiety and depression. You don't want to feel shameful about it. You shouldn't feel shameful about it, but the mind is a tricky place. And you end up with this feeling that you're doing something wrong, or somewhere in your life you messed up and this is a punishment for it. But it's truly helped me understand my own situations and my own work through my own trials, and because then I get feedback from others. And, you know, you pick and choose what you want to listen to, because, you know, the old adage of just wash your face and get up and get going and you'll feel better. That's not a helpful advice. But the other way that it helps me by sharing is because then it gives those who maybe were hesitant to share their story, it gives them permission to do that and to share what they're going through. And that, as somebody who's passionate about mental health, that is so rewarding for me, for somebody to come alongside and say, hey, look, I'm going through this too, and I didn't realize that other people felt this way. And so that's very empowering.
Yeah, it's that validation that these feelings that you're having are real. You're not weird, you're not different. It's, right. you know, power, the power in the numbers, right? It's that validation. And what are some of the things that you've done, you know, either treatment, medication, journaling, art, what have some things that have helped you along your journey besides just being able to talk? I mean, that's a huge thing, and sharing that and helping and lifting each other up. But what are some other different therapies that you have done that have been successful for you?
Sure. I have been in therapy for the last 13 years. For the last 11, it's been with the same therapist, which has been absolutely wonderful because I don't have to retell my story over and over again. Mm-hmm. He knows me. He knows me well, and he sees things before I do just because he knows me. Therapy is key to me. Like, I don't want to say if you decide not to do medication, because I feel like medication is extremely important. It helps you to get out of the junk so you can process through it in a healthy way. But therapy is so important as well. And I know for a lot of people, that's something they like poo-poo at and just really feel like that's not something they want to be involved in. It makes them feel weak. If people found out, what would they think of me, kind of thing. I truly believe that everybody should be in therapy, whether you're mentally ill or not. It's just good to have that
agreed
board to throw things off of. I'm on medication. It took me a while to get the right cocktail that worked the best for me, but now that I'm at the place that I am with my medication, it's been wonderful. It's hard not to do that, oh, I feel better, so I don't need to take it anymore thing. Because, again, mm-hmm. taking medication for mental health has that stigma to it where people feel weak because they need it. So being able to wrap my head around the fact that I need that medication to help me through. And it doesn't mean that I don't still have bouts or days where I'm not quite good. The winters are absolutely awful. But I know that it's coming, and I use the coping skills that I've learned to move past it and be able to manage the winter blues or the sad
right.
as well as I can.
And I think that's, we were talking about that earlier in the episode where people have the stigma, right? If we can just create awareness and educate people about asking for help is not a weakness, it's a sign of strength. And really reducing that, if you're going therapy or taking medication, you wouldn't think that that was odd or different, or you were dependent and couldn't do it by yourself if somebody needed to have a diabetes, right? You have to be on insulin, or you yes. have other medication yes. for your blood pressure. Nobody thinks twice about that. And that's where mm-hmm. we can just get the stigma out of the way about mental health and mental illness. It's a disease. And it's not just about just get in the shower, get dressed, put some makeup on, do your hair, and everything's going to be fine and dandy.
Right.
And even if you're doing therapy and taking medication, life is still going to throw curveballs at you, and you're still going to have your moments, and it's how you deal with them. Now, you're a very creative artist between blogs and paintings. Has that been a big factor in helping you cope with any of your mental health issues?
Absolutely. That's a huge help. Being able to express myself creatively, it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever been a runner, but running just kind of empties your mind and helps you focus on things that are important and toss out the ones that aren't. And creativity for me is the same way. It's just mind releasing, and I'm able to even work through some things that I was struggling with to get through, just by slapping some paint on a canvas. And I have several pieces of art that I've never shared with any. They're what I call my therapy art. A lot of them are kind of dark, but it's something that is an important, such an important part of my healing that even my therapist is like, all right, tell me what you're doing in your art. Are you spending time in the studio? Have you made anything recently? That's a huge part of my recovery.
I think that's important to know is that it's your recovery, your journey. So what might work for one person may not work for somebody else. It's just like, personal training or health and fitness. Some people might be, I'm a runner and I love running. Somebody else might be, I'm a biker and they're losing weight and they're getting healthy and they're doing all this, where that might not work for somebody else. It's unfortunately with everything in life, it's kind of trial and error. What works for you, what clears your mind, whether that's meditation, journaling, some creative outlets so that you're not in your head as much, or that you can just feel, right? It's like feel the feelings so that you can get that expression out.
A lot of times, go
ahead.
That's the hard part, is allowing yourself to feel the feelings, because so often we feel like we need to not go there. And things will get better.
And I agree with that. Or else, why am I having these feelings? And then you start doubting yourself on why are you having these feelings? And you're get to the point of feel them, be with them, express them. So, how has your family and friends been supportive in your journey?
Either fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you're going to look at it. My husband also struggles with some mental health, so he understands when I'm going through something. He knows how to care for me through that time. And there are times he'll either say, it's my turn now, when he's going to struggle through some time. And so we have such a great communication between the two of us so that I never have to doubt that he'll be there for me. My sister, who I'm very close to, and also my dad, they don't really understand it. Thankfully, they've never experienced it. And even me trying to give them situations where maybe they can relate to, It still doesn't help them understand what I'm going through. They do their best, and they send me lots of love and lots of uplifting messages and what have you, but they don't quite get it. So I'm very thankful that I have a husband who does.
And, you know, I'm biased, but he's one awesome guy.
Yes,
he is. He's my favorite brother. It's my only brother, but he's my favorite brother now. And I think that support, even if somebody doesn't understand, still being that place to support and provide love is so important.
Yeah.
And Lisa, I could talk to you all day about this, and I'd love to go on, but we do need to wrap up. So I want to say thank you so much for calling in. I hope this has helped others to know that you can openly talk about your journey and really express your issues, your desires, and your path that you're on. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, those open lines of communications. So thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us. Love you.
You're welcome. We'll talk. Thank you for listening. Love you too.
All right. I hope we've been able to shed some light on mental health, mental illness awareness. Be the light someone needs to get through this. Reach out. Even if this one suffering is not holding out their hand, be the one to lift others up. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Get Rooted Radio. If you missed any part of today's episode or you want to listen again, go to GetRootedRadio.com for the podcast. And don't forget to tune in the first and third Monday of each month at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Pacific, right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Before I sign off, remember to ask yourself, am I living a rooted life? If the answer is no, take time to think about what you need to do, then take action to make that answer a yes. One way to take action is to set up your free Empower Hour call with me. No charge, no obligation. Go to GetRootedRadio.com to find out how I can help you take action. And if you're ready to live, love, and let go, join me for my signature 12-week group coaching series, The Rooted Life. The series will assist you in achieving your goals and moving forward by letting go of the things that no longer serve you, learning to love yourself and others fully, and living life to its fullest. Go to GetRootedRadio.com, the Rooted Life tab, to learn more about the 12-week series. Thank you for tuning in. Have an amazing day, and I look forward to hearing from you and talking to you the next time on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, and letting it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com if you have missed any part of this hit show, and tune in on TransformationTalkRadio.com to live fearlessly in your more and powerfully rooted in your unlimited yes. For more information and to work with Erica directly, visit GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com, and get ready to live it up, love it up, and let it go.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.